Chris Muscovitas. We're talking about state election officials are not updating their computer systems, and they're leaving them vulnerable to hackers, particularly when this in this 2020 election that's coming up next year. This is according to a new report. How serious is this, and what needs to be done? You know,
and how do they do it?
Let me tell you something. It's occurring right now. It's been occurring. But listen, if there's provisions that can be taken to at least minimize, then we're all for it. Let's find out.
I think, you know what I think? My one, I haven't said anything yet, but I'm going to say just something short.
I want to hear it.
They run too many people.
Well, this has to do with the computer systems. And he's just leaving them on. You know, they're not updating them. They're not updating them because there's probably protectants that they can be upgrading, but they're not. They're not. So let's find out. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's bring Chris on. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Where are you calling from? What state?
I am calling from New York City.
Oh, okay.
New York City, the one and only.
So you're not too far
from
us.
The one and only, the city that never sleeps.
Very true.
Very true. Right.
And you know what? I got the co-host that doesn't sleep neither.
Yeah, so I hear.
Yes. Brad Davis, the man, he sleeps like, he'll get an hour here. I don't think he gets any more than 2 hours consecutively. He may sleep for 5 hours or 6 hours, but no more than two consecutively.
We have birds moving away from you guys down here so they can get some peace and quiet.
Right. Thank you, Chris. Exactly. That's my point. So listen, we're hearing that the state election officials are not updating their computer systems, and of course it makes them vulnerable. It makes the computers vulnerable to outside hackers.
Yes, that's right.
It's a pretty serious thing.
As a matter of fact, was proven conclusively by ethical hackers tests this past summer at DEF CON. There was an area called the Voting Village, and then ethical hackers went at voting machines from all over the country, and it was and they were able to hack every single one of them.
Wow.
The issue is complex. It's expensive. It requires engagement both in terms of people understanding issues of cybersecurity, but also understanding issues of technology, and it requires funding. All of which, as you very well know, have been substantial issues in the current both federal and state environments.
And that's probably the reason why it's not occurring. It's because it's a huge, huge price to it.
There is a price to it. I'm not so sure about the huge part, but certainly there's a price to it. And there is issues, first of all, with the manufacturers of these devices. The manufacturers of these devices bear a burden of responsibility in securing the devices outright. Then the operators of the devices also have the responsibility of ensuring that the elections are safe and protected. And one of the easiest ways that you can ensure that you're protecting the results of an election is make sure that you have an audit trail. And that's very simple. Make sure that you have a paper ballot. For example, in New York City, in New York State, we do have electronic voting systems, but there's a paper ballot that gets scanned. This paper ballot is maintained. And therefore, if there is an issue, if there's a contention about the result, you can actually physically count the paper ballot.
Yeah, but it's time-consuming, though.
If it's time-consuming, but it preserves your democracy, I'll take it.
Well, you know what? That's exactly right, Chris. I couldn't agree with you more. That's the old-fashioned way.
That's the old-fashioned way. There is a lot of mission-critical systems right now that have to do with our security that are air-gapped. And an air-gapped system is a system that is not connected in any way, shape, or form to the internet, and that's in order to protect things like nuclear silos and the like. So we do have systems that are air gapped. A lot of the voting systems are not air gapped, and at some point they do get connected to the internet, which makes them vulnerable. And again, that's not to suggest that an air gapped system is not hackable, as we ourselves, the United States and Israel, allegedly proved by using the Stuxnet weaponized virus against Iran.
Say, I want to just ask you something. You'll probably think I'm crazy for asking this, but we have so many candidates that run. Do you suppose that we should make a topping on this just an X number and set up so that that's what we can have to vote on?
I love your thinking. Are you suggesting a death match between candidates so that we can reduce the number to like a few? I don't think so. The beauty of our system, the beauty of our democracy, the reason why we are, you know, the lighthouse to the rest of the world is that we can afford to do this. We can have as many candidates as we want. People can speak their mind. People can let voters express their feelings and vote the people that they want in office. So I don't think that we limit the candidates in order to get the more secure elections. I think we focus on securing the elections and have as many candidates as you want.
What are the chances then? And I may even kind of know this deep down, but what are the chances of going back to the old paper ballot where they're hand counted? Or is that too regressive and you know, not utilizing the technology to its fullest? Is there any opportunity or any possibility, I should ask, of us returning to those days?
I don't know about retaining those days, but certainly there could be opportunity that that you use that kind of an audit trail. I think that there's also a couple of ways that elections can be compromised. So when we're talking about hacking the elections, it's not just about hacking the voting machines itself. There's two components to the story. There is the straight-up cybersecurity technology hacking issue that we are discussing right now, where we think that the voting machines itself are compromised and the count will be off because it has been tampered with. Mm-hmm. But there is an equally important hacking attempt that's happening via social engineering. Don't forget what Russia did in 2016. And now we have evidence of 70 countries actively engaging in cyber warfare through social engineering and, of course, through hacking. So we need to address that as well. We need our own information campaign for our own citizens where they understand what proper research is, what understanding where fake news is indeed coming from, understanding what trolling is, understanding what happens when you're propagating false information through avenues through social media.
Is there any such thing as hack-proof technology, or is just about everything? Yeah, it's all...
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. There is no such thing as hack-proof technology or a solution that will become, that will protect anyone's systems, voting or otherwise, entirely protected. That's a lie. If somebody's selling you that, they're selling snake oil. The fact of the matter is that anyone in cybersecurity knows that and understands that, and from a cybersecurity perspective, we play defense. The cybersecurity professionals play defense. And when you are in a defensive posture, you roll out your controls to protect you in a defense in depth kind of strategy. Mm. You monitor everything. You are as aggressive as possible. But from an attacker's point of view, you have all the time in the world to identify that one single vulnerability that's going to let you through the wall. So the advantage is most certainly with the attacker always. You have to protect against a million different threats while the attacker sits back and just watches your defenses. Until it finds that one hole. The attacker only needs one.
Yeah.
You need to protect a million.
Are they targeting specific elections? Like, obviously a presidential one, but would they target state election or a gubernatorial election in large states? I'm presuming they don't care about who's being elected mayor of Podunk, you know, or of Arkansas or whatnot.
I wouldn't have an opinion on that in terms of like the relative value of a local election. I'll stay away from that. But they can most certainly target and attack any state, any election, from the smallest to the largest.
Yeah, and it's only getting more and more technological, right? As we go forward, the technology is becoming more sophisticated. But it seems like the hackers are always one step ahead of the technology.
Well, that's the nature of the game. The nature of the game is that the technology will proceed at a blistering pace, and that the hackers it's to their best interest to stay on top of that and discover what's called zero-day vulnerabilities and the like so that they can exploit them. But at the same time, let's also not go all the way to the gloom and doom. Let's not forget that in our agencies, our own agencies, in NSA, and many of the intelligence agencies, if not all of them, there is incredible professionals that are up day and night doing nothing else other than protecting our country. So we're not exactly asleep at the switch. We are underfunded, underinformed, and we have leadership across all levels of the state, local state, and federal government that are clueless. Yes, we have that problem. But Chris, we also have incredible professionals that help us.
If we know the problem exists, okay, and we've got major elections coming up that we want to protect its integrity, then why wouldn't the government, why wouldn't be we one step ahead of that to procure the sanctity of our national elections?
I think that's a great question to pose to Mr. McConnell. I think you're asking the right question, and as a journalist, that is exactly what your job is, to query that, because for you and me as common citizens, the answer is obvious, right?
Yeah.
This is stupid.
It should be a priority,
Yeah, but at the same time, we have ample evidence of substantial dysfunction and conflicts at all levels of government, and we have theatrics that are happening even on the Senate floor. We have senators that are showing up on the Senate floor holding a snowball, for crying out loud, and we have other senior senators that are looking at Facebook and saying, I'm not so sure I understand how you make money. And you have Zuckerberg looking at the senator going like, advertising.
Yeah, you're right, though. Yeah,
they're right.
They're not all exactly light bulbs down there. Hey, listen, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Talking
about light, you shed some light on this, something that, you know, we knew existed, but we didn't know to what extent and the severity of it. And everybody always wants to talk about protecting the integrity of our elections. It needs to be funded. We need to be a one step ahead in technology. Can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to coming back.
We'd love to have you back, Chris. Thanks again.